Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning. So the responsive scriptures should come up behind me. We're going to start out with our reading for today from Philippians chapter 4. I'll begin and you can repeat the next verse after me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The last verse together. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day and the opportunity for you to speak to us through your word. You tell us in your word that if according to our faith, it will be done for us. So Lord, we come to you in faith today, expecting you to be with us and that people's needs are going to be met today, Lord. Please help those that are struggling today. Help them find joy in you. Help us to hear what you want to say to us and what you want us to do as a result of what we've heard. We thank you for your extraordinary generosity and love towards us by giving us your son, to die for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So I'm very blessed and excited to be here with you today to share the word of God. So what is joy? Everyone is searching for it. Songs and books are written about it. I did a Google search and found over 200 songs with the word joy or happiness in the title alone. You might remember Pharrell's big hit, Happy. Anybody remember that one? Or the old classic by Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Or You Bring Me Joy by Anita Baker. Joy Inside My Tears by Stevie Wonder. And let's not forget You've Made Me So Very Happy by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. The author of the book, Are You Happy?, reports that perhaps only 20% of Americans are truly happy. 6 weeks before he died, a reporter asked Elvis Presley, Elvis, when you first started playing music, you said you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. Are you happy? I'm incredibly lonely, he replied. Everyone is looking for joy and happiness. But are they looking in the right places? Are you? Are you looking for joy in the bottom of that bottle of Jack Daniels? I can tell you it's not there. Oh, you might feel happy and good for a moment, but when that hangover comes, that happiness is going to be gone. Are you looking for joy in a relationship, in your job, or in food? Are you looking for it in money, fame, or success? Or maybe you're looking for joy in stuff like cars, clothes, or shoes. Trust me, based on my shoe collection, I know it's not there. These things may make you feel good in the moment, but when they wear off, they don't last. So what does the Bible say joy is? How do we find true joy? What's the source? What's the secret? How do I have joy all the time? So what is joy? Webster defines joy as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or the prospect of having what one desires. It's delight. Rejoice is related to the word joy, and it means to feel great delight, to be glad. Take a look at these pictures. Keep going. So I see, I heard laughter, I heard I saw smiles. See, these pictures evoke feelings of joy and happiness and delight, yes? So when we go to the Bible, depending upon the translation that you read, I believe that the Bible uses the words joy and rejoice over 300 times. I think that that's an important concept that God wants us to get. A moment ago, I gave you a general meaning for joy, but what's a biblical definition? What is Paul talking about in his letters when he talks about joy? What is true Christian joy? I really like author and retired pastor John Piper's definition. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the word and in the world. Christian joy is a good feeling. It's deep down inside you, and the Holy Spirit gives it to you. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we want to be more like Christ, we must have joy. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't have it, especially when things are going wrong. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see joy in all things and the ability to rejoice during trials. So our text from today comes from a short letter to the Philippians written by Paul, the apostle, during his imprisonment in Rome. Paul is writing a letter to his brothers and sisters at the church in Philippi to encourage them. He is writing to let them know how he's doing in jail and to warn them of opposition they may face in the church. He wants them to stay strong and united in the midst of struggles. It's amazing to me that Paul is in prison, yet he is writing to the Philippians to encourage them. Imagine what the circumstances were like for Paul. When we think of prisons, we think of our prisons today. A cell with bars, a bed, a blanket, sink, maybe a few books. For Paul, that would have been a luxury hotel. According to one historian, Paul's prison in Rome could have been called the House of Darkness. Few prisons were as dim, dank, and dirty as the lower chamber Paul occupied. It was a dungeon. Its neglect, darkness, and stench gave it a hideous and terrifying appearance. And yet from this horrific place, Paul is able to write a letter of encouragement filled with joy. I don't know about you, but I think that's amazing. Approximately 20 times throughout this short letter, he uses the words joy, rejoice, peace, content, thanksgiving. Philippians is a letter full of love, full of joy, all coming from a prison cell. Talk about someone who is a great example of rejoicing in the Lord during difficult circumstances. You may be going through a challenge in your life right now. You may be thinking, how can I rejoice during my trial. But Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul wrote to the Philippians to encourage them to have joy despite the difficulties they were facing. Paul's not urging us to be unrealistic during difficult times. He's not saying that we should never feel sad. However, he is suggesting that we focus on the blessings we have in Christ and have our joy depend on Christ, not on our circumstances. There was a time when I felt completely lost and alone, and I was worried about my future. I moved to Portland in 2009 for a job, didn't know anyone here, but I felt it was God's will. Less than 2 years later, I lost my job, and the owners decided to sell the apartment I was renting, and I had to move. I tried to pray, but fear and anxiety were swirling around me. I even woke up in the middle of the night and felt an evil presence in my room and my bed shaking. It was a scary experience, and all I could say was, Jesus, help me. I felt under attack. This was a period in my life when I prayed, but I still couldn't find peace. I didn't understand why this was happening to me. I had so many questions for God. Why is it taking me so long to find a job? How can I find another apartment without a job? Should I stay in Portland? Should I move back to Chicago? I was having myself a good old pity party. Ever have one of those? Oh, man. And I didn't know. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And then one day, one of my sisters called to encourage me. She said something that helped me through this tough period. Don't you think that maybe you should enjoy this time off? Maybe God has given you a break for all your years of long and stressful work days. Imagine that. She said, think of it as a blessing. Huh. That perspective just totally changed my attitude. I began to stop complaining to God about my circumstances, but to find joy in spite of them. I was able to take long prayer walks with the Lord every day along the waterfront. It was awesome. Just praising him for all of his blessings and all that he's done for me. I had to learn that I could be joyful in spite of my circumstances. So now we go to our text, verse 4. We've already read it together, but this is important. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul uses the words rejoice and joy, which we have talked about, means to rejoice, be glad, be well. I love the word, to thrive. He uses that word about 12 times throughout Philippians. It seems that this was a key point to Paul's letter. This verse encourages the Philippians to have joy no matter what the circumstances. He tells them to rejoice always, not sometimes, not when they feel like it, not when things are going great, but always. There may have been many reasons why the Philippians may have felt discouraged. They were going through some difficult times. People were opposing the church, and they were worried about Paul in prison. But Paul repeats the word rejoice because he wants them to get the point in his letter. He didn't just tell them to rejoice while he sat back and complained and was sad and threw in a pity party in prison. No, he practiced what he preached. He had provided an example to them of joy when he was visiting Philippi and he was thrown in prison. And what was Paul doing? He was singing. Paul's joy was not dependent on his circumstances, but on faith in Christ. I love the Message version, which says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean revel in him. If you're reveling and focused on praising the Lord, it is hard not to be joyful. And please note, this is not a suggestion. It is a command. It says to rejoice. It's not something we do when we feel like it. And then the Bible also talks about us having joy in many other places that we don't have time to cover. But for example, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, which should be behind me. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, it's a command, and I'm sure if you look throughout the Bible, you're going to see this many, many times. He goes on to say in verse 5, to be gentle. He's telling them to have a gentle spirit that all can see. This means that we should be equitable, fair, mild, kind. It reminds me of Jesus' humility that Paul wrote about earlier in Philippians. He tells them they should be ready, for the Lord is near. The Lord is standing by. He's looking. He sees everything that we're doing. The letter continues to encourage them by telling them in verse 6 that they are not to worry about anything. Another command, be anxious for nothing. Not some things, not a few things, but nothing. We are not to worry about anything, but instead we are to pray with thanksgiving and present our requests to God. Paul encouraged them to pray in spite of their concerns. Instead of being worried over a particular situation, they should take all of their concerns to the Lord in prayer. He's basically saying, you need to talk to God about everything. Bring him your needs, your wants, your desires, but don't just pray. Do it with thanksgiving, with gratitude. We were listening, my husband and I, this morning, and Charles Stanley said something, do it with expectation that God is going to do something. Thank God for what you're going through. And remember how God has always brought you through. I'm sure that we could all think of an instant in our life where God has done something that seemed impossible and he brought us through. I remember that after I'd lost my job, I kept a journal, which I still keep today, but I went back and it was some weeks, I'm sure months later, and I looked back at my journal. In my journal, I had written my prayers to God about how miserable I was on my job and how I was so unhappy and wanted him to do something. I asked him for help. I didn't mean losing my job, but God had something else in mind for sure. But it was great that I wrote that down because I could go back and see, hey, God heard me. And that I lost my job a few days after I made that entry in my journal. So present your request to God. Let him know how you feel. We should pray about everything that concerns us. Someone has said, why worry when you can pray? Prayer needs to replace worry in our Christian life. So here's a story about an atheist who was walking through the woods, thinking to himself, how beautiful the animals are, how majestic the trees are, how powerful the rivers are. As he walked along the river, he heard rustling in the bushes behind him. He turned and saw an 8-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. He ran along the path as fast as he could, but when he looked over his shoulder, he saw that the bear was closing in on him. He kept running, but when he looked over his shoulder again, the bear was even closer. Then he tripped and fell on the ground. The bear was right on top of him, with his right paw raised and ready to strike him. At that instant, the atheist cried, God help me. Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. A bright light shone upon the man, and the voice from the sky said, you've denied my existence for all these years and have taught others that I don't exist. You even credited creation to a cosmic accident. Why would you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Are you now a believer? The atheist looked into light and said, well, I would be a hypocrite to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now. But could you maybe make the bear a Christian? Very well, the voice said, and the light went out, and the sounds of the forest resumed. The bear lowered his right paw and brought both paws together. He bowed his head and said, Lord, bless this food, which I'm about to receive from your bounty. Through Christ our Lord, amen. So what's the lesson here? Be careful what you pray for. I'm glad to hear y'all laughing and having some joy. This is great. So now we go on to verse 7. Paul promises that they will receive the peace of God. This is a peace that is in the heart that comes when we pray to God about what concerns us. He also tells them that their hearts and minds will be protected by the peace of God. This is peace that comes from God rather than peace with God. It is a peace that comes when we pray, when we enter into God's presence. This peace, this release from stress and worry, is something we can't fully understand. At the same time, this peace is a spiritual barrier against the worldly pressures we would otherwise experience, like fear and worry and anxiety. We may not understand this, but God promises and assures us that He will give us this peace. Only through prayer can we come to know the presence of the one who can bring peace in the midst of the storms of life. By praying with thanksgiving, God will protect our hearts and minds. So we go on to verse 8. So once you have brought our request to God, Paul turns the focus on their thoughts and their actions. He encourages them to think with and act with purity. They should focus on what is true, noble, pure, lovely, and of good report. If they do these things, they will receive God's peace. You become what you think about. If you want to be like Christ, focus on being true, which means being honest and reliable. Be noble, which means honorable and worthy of respect. Just means doing what is right. Pure means morally pure. Lovely means be agreeable, be pleasing. And good report means that you should measure up to the highest standards. We're representatives of the Son of God. We are responsible for our thoughts. So guard your thoughts. Protect them. It's hard not to be joyful when you're focusing on these good things. What are you filling your mind with? Wholesome conduct leads to wholesome thinking. Paul encourages the Philippians to take his conduct into account as well and practice what they saw in him, in his life. They need to not just think about things, but they need to do something. They are to dwell on excellence and things worthy of praise. They will experience God's presence by enjoying the peace that comes from walking in fellowship with God. We know God is always with us, but Paul's phrase is a way of saying that they would experience his presence by enjoying the peace that comes from walking in fellowship with God. Be content whatever your circumstances. In verse 10, Paul begins by thanking the Philippians for their recent gift that one of his brothers had delivered to him. Paul didn't want the Philippians to misunderstand him. He was not rejoicing just because they gave him a gift that met his need, but because their gift expressed their love and concern for him. Do you know how much joy you can give someone if you express your love and concern for them? Paul had learned to be content, and it wasn't easy. He learned to rejoice regardless of his physical circumstances. This is not something that comes naturally. He had to learn to be content, and he had to learn it in a prison. He knows what it is to be in need and what it is to have plenty. Paul could be equally content if he had a little or with much. These are all material things. Paul wasn't concerned because Paul was rich spiritually. He found the recipe for being happy, for having joy in every situation, whether full or hungry. I don't know about you, but I get a little cranky when I'm hungry. Ask my husband. Someone said hangry. I heard that term. I can always count on my brother. Anthony, where is he? There he is. Earlier in this letter, Paul explained that the most important thing in life was to center it on Christ. This is a favorite verse of mine and one that I actually had under my college graduation picture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The NIV says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. All things, included being content with little or a lot. Paul is talking about how we can be content in Christ. We can have joy in the midst of whatever is happening because of Christ. We can do all things because of Christ, not because of us, not because we will it or we want it, but because of Christ. Paul has found the secret to joy in a prison cell. He knows it's in Christ. Every Christian, every believer needs to learn to be content. When Paul urged his readers to rejoice in the Lord always, he was practicing again what he preached. The apostle's comment, contentment and joy, even in prison, indicated his spiritual maturity. You can't be content and have joy in all circumstances unless you are maturing and growing with the Lord. That should challenge all of us to want to grow closer to Christ. Billy Graham tells a story about visiting a man who was wealthy and successful. He was the envy of all his friends and business associates. But as they talked, he broke down in tears, this man, confessing that he was miserable inside. Wealth had not been able to fill the empty place in his heart. A few hours later, he visited another man a short distance away. This man's cottage was humble. He had almost nothing in the way of the world's possessions, and yet his face was as radiant as he told him about the work he was doing for Christ and how Christ had filled his life with meaning and purpose. I am convinced that the second man was really the rich man. Although he didn't have much, he had learned to be thankful for what God had given him. Paul declared, I learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. A spirit of thankfulness makes all the difference. Are you constantly preoccupied about what you don't have? The job you don't have, the mate you don't have, the money you don't have? Or have you learned to thank God for what you do have? James drives home the definition of joy in the kingdom of God as having nothing to do with eliminating negative circumstances. We're going to have tough times. We all know it. But rather, we need to embrace them as opportunities to strengthen our faith and gain perseverance. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The end result of choosing joy in Christ is being mature and complete in Christ. Joy becomes the fuel for the believer on the road to maturity. Only Jesus can make our lives flourish in the midst of trouble. Only in him is joy strengthened when life is really challenging. In the beginning of this passage, we raised some key questions. What does the Bible say about joy? How do we find it? What's the source? What's the secret? I think you probably know what that is by now. Anyone? Absolutely. But how do we have joy all the time? During those difficult times, right? It's easy to be happy when everything is going our way. The Bible tells us, and you should have a slide behind me, choose joy. Joy is a choice. It's a decision that we get to make every day. It's about changing our attitude. It's about changing what we focus on. It's about celebrating and reveling in God and all that he has done for us every single day, for his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. Change your attitude. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in your car, in your house, in your job, in your family. Rejoice in the Lord. try to look at things from God's perspective. Amen. Don't worry, pray and thank Him. Ask Him for what you need and trust Him to take care of you. Don't worry about anything. Cast your cares on the Lord. He wants us to bring all of our cares to Him. He wants you to tell Him how you feel. There's no point pretending or faking it, right? He knows anyway. So just open up your mouth and tell Him how you feel, right? And thank Him for all that He's done for you, because even on your worst day, we all have something to thank God for. Amen. As the old saints used to say back in the day, any day I wake up above ground is a good day and a reason to thank Him, right? So if you, just because you got up this morning, you can say, thank you, Lord. Fill your mind with positive things. Dwell on excellence. Focus on becoming more like Christ. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, one of them. It is a reflection of our attitude, of our disposition. Be content, whatever is happening in your life. Be thankful for what you have. Don't focus on what you don't have. You can find peace inside your pain through gratitude. There's always something to be thankful for. If Paul can be thankful in a horrific prison cell, how much more can we be thankful in so much better circumstances? If we do these things, God has made some promises to us. He's told us that the joy of Christ will reduce stress and give us peace. Imagine that. God makes us a promise, and I know He is going to keep it. What about you? Life will feel different as we rest in Christ and cast our cares upon Him. Who has some cares that need casting upon the Lord today? I know that I do. Praise God. The joy of Christ will give us strength. Strength to get through whatever we're going through. I love this psalm, Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that amazing? In God's presence is fullness of joy. And by the way, that joy that you have as a believer, it will become contagious. It's going to draw other peoples to Christ because they're going to want to know what you have. They're going to want to know how can you have joy in the midst of the horrible things that you are going through. Again, anybody can be joyful when things are going well. I think sometimes God's like to stir things up so that we can come to Him and trust in Him to change that situation around. I remember during that time of unemployment, and it was a little over a year, someone came up to me at church and said, hey, I heard you lost your job. And when I said, yes, I did, she said, you never would have known it. You seem so happy. How can you possibly be happy? I couldn't be happy on my own. We all know I was throwing a pity party for myself that went on for a while, but I was able to be happy because I found my joy in the Lord, because I trusted in the Lord. So what is God's message to us? What does He want us to do? He wants us to come to Him, to rest in Him, to find our joy in Him. I imagine God saying to us, come, experience the joy of my presence. You need to sit quietly, focusing your thoughts on me. Say no to worries and problems as they try to creep in your mind. Say yes to me, to my joy, to my peace, my unfailing love. Do you want to be happy? Do you want true joy? I am the secret. I'm all you need. The true secret of joy is found in Christ. I'd like to read this poem I found about trials. It's called The ABCs of Trials. Although things are not perfect because of trial or pain, continue in thanksgiving. Do not begin to blame. Even when times are hard, fierce winds are bound to blow, God is forever able. Hold on to what you know. Imagine life without his love. Joy would cease to be. Keep thanking him for all the things love imparts to thee. Move out of camp complaining. No weapon that is known on earth can yield the power praise can do alone. Quit looking at the future. Redeem the time at hand. Start every day with worship. To thank is a command. Until we see him coming, victorious in the sky, we'll run the race with gratitude, exalting God most high. Yes, there'll be good times, and yes, some will be bad. But Zion waits in glory where none are ever sad. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I hope that that inspires you to really think about joy and that you'll take some time. We shared some scriptures today, but look up. There are wonderful scriptures about joy in the Bible. And I challenge all of you to find one, memorize it, meditate on it this week, and really ask God to bring you joy. Pastor Paul, I'd like to invite you and the worship team to come up as we're reaching our conclusion. The true secret to finding joy is finding Jesus, but we also have a part to play. If you know Jesus, you need to rejoice in who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do in your life. Don't worry. Tell him about your troubles. Dwell and think about good things and learn to be content where God has you. And if you don't know Jesus, he's waiting for you to come to him. If you want to have joy, if you want to be happy, you need to know the joy giver. There's a way to have joy right now. You can have joy that is in the Lord, a joyful life that's eternal. Let's take a moment and reflect on your circumstances, what you need from the Lord today. Are you worried about your family, health, finances? You don't have to leave here burdened with those same worries and fears that you came here with. Give Jesus those concerns and let him give you joy. God bless. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. That's okay. Go ahead and stand. That's good. As we close the service this morning, we're going to reprise this song we sang about the blood so beautiful, oh, how he loves you and me. Well, right where you're standing, I want to tell you what gave Jesus joy. The Bible says this in chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising his shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what his joy was? You. As you stand here, I want to ask you a question. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Somebody got bad news last week. And all the joy that was in you left you. I want you to bring that bad news to this altar today and leave it here and leave this house with joy. I shouldn't have to wrestle with anybody because that heaviness of trying to talk you out of it, trying to convince you to do something, didn't work. But when you remember that you are the joy that brought Jesus to the cross, that was set before him. He went through all of that for you. Today, whatever you're struggling with today, I'm going to pray that I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. And we're going to sing this song, Blood So Beautiful, Oh How He Loves You and Me. I want you to respond to Jesus today. You can leave all of that stuff down here. Some of you tried to stay sober, tried to stay clean, tried to stay all these different things. It didn't work. But Jesus says, bring it to me today. Bring all the heartache, the pain, the misery, the failure, this type of thing. Bring it to the cross today. You may have never turned your life over to Jesus. Today's the day that you'll get a chance to do that. But I'm going to pray, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, you went to the cross. We were the joy that sat before you because somehow you knew that we would never find joy unless someone had given a sacrifice for all of our sins. Lord, the person that received bad news this week that wants to say, you know, I want it to turn to joy, but I don't know how to do it. Lord, I ask them, invite them to bring that bad news before you, all their failures, all their hopelessness to this altar today, that you would heal their life and bring them to a new experience in you. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat. Come down here right now and just receive joy instead of all the ashes that's going on. Just step out right now in Jesus' name. That's right.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.